inside some. Mm-hmm. How often do you envision that happening and him playing a tackle? And the other thing is, obviously it was established earlier this year, might have been Mike or Chris talking about, you know, Wake's going to come back as a starter. You're not going to experiment like you did last year with him coming off the bench. Andre obviously returning as a starter. So knowing that William is at his best in base against the run, what's the challenge there of where to play him and when to play him?
Well, hopefully it's not a challenge. You know, hopefully it's easy for me. You know, he's been working a lot of places. He's done a lot of, you know, played a lot of football in his time. So, obviously we value what William brings to us, you know, as a base end, you know, setting edges for us. And one of the reasons he brought him in here to help us in the run game. And, you know, for us, he's actually pretty versatile, moving inside a little bit. You know, right now, you know, I know what we're doing with a lot of the positions is moving those guys around. So Will's got some work inside, outside, and just trying to get the best fit. I mean, to me, again, it's a benefit, you know, if we can have players that are playing multiple positions and have the depth that maybe we haven't had there in the past, that we can, you know, we've got four or five ends that we're rolling through and working in different spots. You know, we can week to week, you know, what the matchups dictate, you know, use them there. So he's been getting work at a lot of different spots. I mean, all those guys have been, and I think his versatility is just a bonus for us. So we're going to try to use him in a lot of different spots.
At his size, can he be your number three tackle if your two rookie drafts
man, that's a dark cloud already. I don't envision him in that sense. I mean, he's an end for us. You know, it's a matter for us of just, you know, early downs and then passing situations, just how we're using guys and moving spots around that sense. So I don't see him bumping in as a full-time inside guy for us.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. They've done a good job, honestly. We've been moving those guys like we said we would and just trying to get different combinations. You know, again, some of playing linebacker is, you know, playing with each other and getting used to, you know, Kegel getting used to what Lawrence is going to do next to him and, you know, having a rookie in the mix and Mike Hall and Neville have both, you know, taken some big steps for us. So we're really trying to work those groups and just try to find the best fit, but also get those guys comfortable playing with each other. You know, again, for me, you know, having more of a versatile ability to have different packages and move those guys around a little bit. They're good. They're all working really hard. Frank's done a good job with them. You know, it's, you know, I'm probably harder on him. Just, you know, that was my room. So I'm probably harder on Frank and try to put a lot on those guys to do that now and find out, you know, how we can utilize them. So it's good. It's coming along.
Is this something that, you know, in the training camp it might be until you have a firm idea?
It's fluid, but yeah, I mean, at some point, I mean, we're going to have to play these guys, you know? So, I mean, right now, you know, we're working the groups and moving guys around, like I said, and, you know, probably we'll keep doing that through this portion of, you know, of the season or the off season. And then as we get close to season, I mean, you hope that the roles start crystallizing a little bit and we have a better feel for where we want to utilize those guys.
We've seen Ray Vaughn at the mic spot a decent amount. How big of a challenge is that mentally for
a rookie? It is. You know, I mean, that's obviously something we put on them. He's done a really good job with it. I mean, he's a very bright kid, and he's very serious about it. I mean, he's all about ball, and he wants to do it. So, it's, you know, that's always a concern with the young kid coming in and putting him in that role. But he's taken to it. Obviously, you know, he did a lot of that in college, and he definitely has a presence about him. You know, I mean, he doesn't present like a rookie, so that's helped him sort of his presentation. He's got something to him that helps him in those roles. So he's done a good job with it. Honestly, probably the biggest thing with Charles is his work rate. I mean, he's nonstop. I mean, it's every snap he's going. He's playing hard. I mean, we're working him, and he's responded. I mean, he never lets up. I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, the athleticism and all those things are obvious, but for him to practice at the tempo he practices at, and with the, you know, the workload we're putting a lot on him, and he's going, he never stops. I mean, I think that's as much, you know, some of the sort of the flashes he's made in camp as anything is just his effort and his energy out there. So that's been, you know, that's been pleasant to see, because you know, it's been said in here, it's been said by a lot of people. I mean, until we put pads on, you know, no one's getting overly excited about anything. But just to know that that's the foundation of what he's doing is his work ethic is through the roof. So that's been fun to see.
Matt, how do you guys decide who to cross train and who to leave
one spot? You know, again, it's a lot of things. I mean, how we feel, obviously, like, you know, can they handle the mental workload? And just physically, like, what their traits are that if, you know, there's some guys that just it doesn't translate, that don't have the ability to play multiple spots, that more profile at one spot. So, you know, and sometimes we'll just try it out. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes we'll just take a day. I'll say, hey, why don't we throw him in there and see how that looks almost, or see if you know, if that's a fit or if he can do it. And maybe we're like, ah, nah, that doesn't look right. Or you know, kind of we'll feel guys out. So, I mean, it's just the whole staff. We go watch the film every day and we're evaluating, you know, mentally, is he grasping what we're trying to do? And then obviously as a physical fit, can he physically do the things we would want him to do in whatever those spots are?
It seems that the one position in the secondary that's kind of up for grabs is the corner.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're rolling groups. I mean, Bobby started every game for us last year. You know, Bob said it, he's had a good spring. He really has. He's competing. You know, he has the, whether you call it the fortune or the misfortune of going against, you know, one of the best slot receivers every day. So that's obviously for us, it's a great evaluation tool to see, you know, him compete against Jarvis. And, you know, he's been holding his own. So, you know, I really like, you know, I think, all, you know, one of the benefits for us last year of playing a lot of those young guys, you know, Bobby, Lip, you know, I mentioned Neville and Mike Hall and those guys. I mean, that, you know, they've all, you know, taken that next step because they got so much playing time last year. So, you know, Bobby's in that group. He's done a good job. You know, we're rolling a bunch of guys through there as well. So, but, you know, Bobby hasn't done anything to discourage us from what he's shown. Yeah, again, Walt's another guy, you know, that we're moving around a little bit and cross-training and, you know, he's played some safety. We're playing some corner. You know, he's a big athlete. You know, he's obviously a huge asset to us on teams. So, you know, we like, you know, having a versatile player in that role on the roster. So Walt's done a good job. You know, again, we're trying to put him maybe in a spot that he's not as comfortable and see how he responds. And he's done a good job working for us so far.
You've been in this job for a few months.
Yeah. Man, what do I do during an individual period? It's crazy, man. I stand there. I don't know what to do with myself. Like, my hand's moving. Yeah, it's hard. Again, it's just a different, you know, relationship with the players. It's a little different interaction with the players. So that's been different. You know, usually I'm, you know, and I'm a very hands-on coach. Like, you know, when I was with the linebackers and, you know, I'm in there and I'm all with it and stuff. So it's a little different being a slightly removed from that. You know, kind of training your eyes from a different spot, like seeing the whole field as opposed to, you know, in practice we're watching a play and I'm like watching the linebackers and now I got to see everybody. So, you know, if a mistake happens out here, I have to be on top of that too. So it's been hard just sort of shifting my focus in terms of that stuff.
Is a change in your role as far as personnel decisions too, I'm guessing?
Meaning what?
Do you guys, I mean, eventually go forward and pare down the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'd like to have that power. You know, I mean, that's all. You know, I think the organization does a great job here. You know, Chris and Mike and, you know, obviously with Adam, you know, we'll have those conversations once we get back to camp and those things are progressing. Like, there's really ongoing conversations. You know, like I said, it's similar where the roster is fluid. And I mean, they're really good here. You know, I like Chris handles it. You know, he's always talking to me. He'll pop into my office and ask, hey, what are you thinking? How's this looking? Or, hey, what if this happened? What would we do here? You know, just kind of playing out scenarios. And so those conversations are ongoing. So, you know, I don't know how much weight I have on that, but at least my voice gets heard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually it's just hard. You know, you have too many people in the room. You know, if you have all the coaches in the room and everyone's trying to sort of fight for their own guys and push for this. So, you know, usually it's sort of pared down to the coordinators where, like, I'm the voice for the defense and, you know, Clyde's in there and Riz and we're kind of all just that, you know, you have too many voices in the room. It's tough. So yeah, it's been, you know, kind of more involved in those conversations.
Thank you.
Matt, among the, what can you do in the off-season?
That's okay.
What can you do in the off-season to prepare yourself for calling defensive singles?
Yeah.
And by nature, how would you characterize yourself? Are you overly aggressive?
I mean, everything's different. I mean, one thing I actually really, you know, appreciate with Adam, you know, he's given me those opportunities now. We have, I hate to say, he kind of got me today a couple times. We had a couple two-minute drills he beat me on today, so I'm a little disappointed. But we have a lot of periods in practice where we're calling off the cuff, and he just, even when we script, to be honest with you, like, so what he does when he scripts practice is he actually gives me just what his down and distance and personnel are going to be for the period, you know, which is basically the information I'd go off of in a game, you know, for the most part. And so literally pretty much every day that I script, I try to just play each play as a scenario. Okay, it's first and 10 on the minus 20. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay, second and 8 on the, you know, on the 30-yard line. This is what I'm playing. So I'm trying to play that game now as it is. And then within practice, you know, usually one period a day or, you know, a couple times a week, he's got periods that are unscripted. That's literally we're just calling off the cuff and we're trying to move the ball down the field, whether it's a two-minute drill or just, you know, sometimes he just has to move the ball. So I'm getting that experience right now in terms of, you know, again, put myself, you know, Adam does a really good job of just every period in practice is a different situation, you know, whether working third downs, red zone, you know, specific coverage. And so I'm trying to always play the game, even at practice. You know, I mean, as my play style or calling style, hey man, every week's different, man. It's a tough league. Every challenge is different. You know, I mean, so week to week, I'm avoiding a little bit, but that's a pretty fluid thing. I mean, trying to put our players in the best position to make plays. I mean, I keep saying that every time I step up here, but that's all I'm going to do.
Among the 3 dozen or so, you know, obscure players on your unit, guys were just, I know you don't think of it in those terms.
I don't. Like don't quote me on that.
Okoye and Deion Lacey and Mo Smith. Who comes to mind as guys who have flashed you?
Oh,
I
man.
Know it's without pads. First couple names that come to mind.
Man, this might be like recency bias. Mo Smith's done a pretty solid job. He's a headsy player, and he's another guy where we're moving around a little bit, and he's been able to sort of take to that to some extent. Man, I know you put me on the spot here. You know, let's see. You know, I thought Gaucho has actually shown a little bit. He's got some power in his body. He's another guy that's, you know, a real worker, and he doesn't say three words to me, just goes out and does everything every day. And, you know, I see him really like watching Sue and those guys and trying to like just puppy dog him and follow him around and do what he does. So, I mean, in terms of the rookie class, you know, obviously besides the top couple picks, those are two guys that have definitely kind of shown a little bit. No, I mean, we have not come to anything close to those determinations. I mean, that'll partly, again, that'll be from Adam and a little bit, you know, how Chris and those guys want to see the roster. But we're going to have to get him some work. You know, I mean, as much as he's a veteran, he's new in our system. And, you know, we're asking him to do some different things. And, you know, obviously then we're going to have to know that he's not going to get any football for however long that's going to be. So, I mean, we literally haven't had that conversation yet, but that's something that we're going to have to decide as an organization, kind of what the right, you know, price point is for him to sort of get the work we need him to get, but also not, you know, steal work from guys that are going to obviously be able to start the season with us. So,
Matt, are you going
base jumping this summer? No, I'm going actually to Uganda to hike with mountain gorillas. So. Yeah, we're going to go trek some mountain gorillas for a couple of days. There's like 700 left in the wild, their natural habitat. And so we're literally the day after the mini camp, I'm flying out and going to be in Uganda for about 2 weeks.
You just go with like a backpack and that's it?
Pretty much. You're only allowed like 15 kilograms on the little bush flight, so it's about 30 pounds or so that you can bring, and that's it.
Matt, do you guys cross-train your safeties, or do you keep them pretty much at free and strong?
Both. I mean, we have a free and a strong, you know, but really we ask them to do, they're similar. You know, what somewhat's evolved too is with Rashad, obviously we try to utilize him in some ways and put him in some spots. So, you know, so we end up kind of cross-training because sometimes we wanted him to do a specific thing or stuff like that. So, and we do have a strong and a free, but we're flipping guys around a little bit there. And some of that revolves around how we want to use 20.
How much are the lines blurred between
strong and free safety and more NFL? Yeah, honestly, in just in terms of generically speaking, for me, like body type wise, like in the way we play, you know, we don't, this isn't universal. This is sort of me. Like, I think it's blurred. I mean, it's hard. You know, I know I've mentioned it here before. I mean, even honestly, we see that practice with Julius. I mean, tight ends, the way they are these days, it's hard for me to have a true, like, old school in the box, strong safety that can't play in space. To me, that's difficult to work. To me, for the way we would do things, we'd have to cover up a little bit and do some things. So for us, like, when we say strong and free, for us, that's more like, is he aligning passing strength? Is he aligning away? Like, kind of where we're lining him up more than, like, our strong safety is always down in the box as a hard, you know, run player, those type of things. So for us, that's more a part of the, like, evaluation process in the off season of, hey, these are the types of safeties we're looking for. We're not just looking for a sort of a one-dimensional player. So they're blurred in that sense of, like, hey, we're trying to get multidimensional talents back there. The strong and free part is more just how we're lining them up in the course of a game. Yes, yes. Oh, sorry, man. Oh, it's just gonna be me and my girlfriend. She's gonna be happy or mad I'm talking about that. So yeah, we're leaving next Friday. We're flying through Amsterdam, so we're taking a few days there, just to break the trip up. It's about an 11-hour flight from Amsterdam down to Entebbe, Uganda, and then we're in country for about 9 or 10 days, I think, in Uganda. You have to get permits and a lot of stuff to do this. So we're basically spending this time at this place called Bwindi Impenetrable Forest. It's up in the mountains on the western border of Uganda. And there's a base camp lodge we're staying at that's got about seven little cabins out on a ridge on the side of the mountain. And you go out during the day and you track the gorillas and get to sort of witness them in their natural habitat. This is actually not. Well, the first time for gorillas. I've been to Uganda before. This would be my third straight year to Africa. I went to Uganda 2 years ago just to do some actual missionary work with Jeremiah Washburn and his family. And that same year, I went and hiked Kilimanjaro afterwards. I went to Tanzania. And then last summer, we actually went to South Africa and Botswana and Zambia and did some safari stuff and trekking around there. So this is my third straight year to Africa, actually, but... And second time to Uganda, first time with gorillas, hopefully.
Yeah, what's the level of risk of this? I mean,
we'll find out. I don't know. I think you're not supposed to approach the gorillas and all this stuff. And apparently you're supposed to just not make eye contact. That's like a pretty threatening situation. So eyes down and just sort of, no sudden movements, hopefully. But Adam told me he's going to, he said if I die over there, he's gonna come and kill me twice. So he told me I gotta. I don't know if I'll be having cell phone service there, so I'm not sure I can check in. But he told me I have to check in as soon as I get a couple bars on my cell phone. So I don't know. It'll be fun.
Yeah.